The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast. Brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast by Wales Online in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm your host, Glenn Williams, and I'm joined by Nathan Blake and Paul Abandonato.
Good morning. Hello, everyone. Hello.
A couple of things on the agenda today then. So firstly, we're going to be talking about the win over Borough, looking forward to Hull City, and then obviously finishing with some Ask Blakey and some predictions. So without further ado, let's talk about the Borough game. And I have to say it because I was patting myself on the back last week, Blakey, but we had one correct prediction last week. Mr. Paul Abandonato, who said a 1-0 win, and he went one further and said a set-piece goal. Paul, congratulations.
Thank you. Very rare one that I've got correct.
I mean, I give him a lot of credit for the call, but set-piece is kind of our thing, isn't it?
No, we can't.
Set piece is what we do, isn't it?
No, we can't take it away. Fair play.
And can I just say, before we go ahead, I've had some Cardiff fans. This is the voice of the boys, yeah? The voice of boys and girls, men, women, children, the whole shebang. And just a heads up for the club, really. Apparently, behind the goal, the Canton end. Mm-hmm. A few boys have approached me, asked if I can give it a mention and see if the club can jump on it and try to resolve it. Apparently, they're getting searched a bit overzealous by the stewards, patted down and what have you, like, you know, pretty serious. Their second complaint was they're having to show their tickets 3 or 4 times before they get to their seat, which I found very strange. And the third was a cry to the club for help on whether they can start taking cash as well as card on the gantry when they're doing their food and what have you. So it's becoming a bit of an issue to the fans behind that goal. So we are the voice of the people.
Exactly right.
So a little shout out if the club is listening. I know they seem to tune in from time to time. So a little heads up for the hierarchy, Mr. Chu or Mehmet or whoever. Just something you might want to keep an eye on try to resolve. Because the last thing you want is some of our fans kicking off with some of the stewards. Because the stewards, like, I think they're fantastic, especially around the way I go. Through the car parks up in the stand, I get a chocolate eclair every home game, as you know, from Mr. Searle. So, you know, it's just some of the friendliest I've come across, I'll be honest with you. You go in through the press entrance, it's just a nice feeling. It's just nice to come to the club with the security and what have you. So I'm not sure what's quite going on there. There might be more to it, but it's just a heads up. The boys have asked, or a few of the boys I know have asked if I could give it a mention. So there we go, for the club. Hopefully they can resolve it.
Just very quickly, the cashless thing is interesting because that's the way society is now going. And Cardiff, you know, I think they're one of the trendsetters as a football club going cash, and it was only this season.
I think society's been driven.
All right, whatever. But I noticed that a couple of cafes or whatever in Cardiff are cash, card only now as well. And I think there was another sporting venue I went to where it was card only again. So
cash is king, baby. You can never get rid of cash,
particularly when you've got Blakey's cash.
Cash is king, man. Don't let him fool us.
Let's move on.
Let's talk a bit of football then. So 1-0 win over Borough. Blakey, what did you make of the game?
Well, I thought it was better, I have to say, but I thought we were good for the 1-0 win. But as entertainment and a spectacle, you know, it doesn't really turn me on, I have to say. You know, it's okay. A 1-0 win. I thought they were really poor mind, Borough. But I thought we were better than we've been in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, all in all, win's a win. It's what matters most. You know, move the chains forward, get the wheels turning. But I don't think it was the most entertaining of games. But then again, I keep, you know, repeating myself. You know, we're not going to see the style of football that is going to necessarily get you out of your seat. This is what we got. This is how we play. You know, so no surprises. But yeah, a win's a win. But I wasn't overly excited. But it was improved, definitely.
Paul, your thoughts?
Well, I actually, you can see from the position, I expect a really dour encounter, and actually, in parts, I was pleasantly stunned by some of the football being played at times. I said before that I really enjoyed the Wales win over Azerbaijan, even though lots of Wales fans didn't seem to, because I actually enjoy watching the team play some football at Cardiff City Stadium, watching Mepham, Roden and Connor Roberts knock the ball around at the back. I think, although they didn't necessarily do that, I think Cardiff at least showed a bit of creativity in getting their wingers in behind in the final third.
Final ball they need to work on.
Yeah. But, you know, even my old mate Gavin White, I have to concede, played quite well. The final ball is key there.
Lots of
players, you know, football games are decided, you know, the football pitch, you imagine it's split into three thirds, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You've got the defensive third, the attacking third, and the mid third. There's loads of players who look brilliant in the middle third. It's what you do in the other thirds that really count, and that final ball is key. What I found really frustrating at one point was Cardiff are 1-0 up, can go for the jugular. Lee Peltier had the ball on the right-hand side, and there was a massive, huge gap, 20 yards, potentially 30 yards in front of him with nobody there. And no attempt was made to go into that. And it was almost like his default setting, I can't go there because the tap, you know, I don't know what it is. And sort of it went back and square. And that frustrated me, that sort of mindset. Whereas I think Bennett would charge into those gaps, you know. Although, again, the final ball still could be a bit better. But I think as an overall thing, I still feel Cardiff season could go either way, right? The key, it's not entertaining, overly entertaining rather, but if you're playing winning football, it's more palatable, let's put it that way. And I think the key is grinding out these 1-0s, whatever, again at Hull this weekend, and you quickly get two or three wins on the spin and you quickly see Cardiff up in that top six, eyeing the top, and that changes everybody's mindset, I feel. And I think at that point, you can accept the non-flourish football. What is extremely frustrating, hard to accept, is what we were having at the start of the season, which was poor Route 1 football, but the team not winning either. And I think that's the way it's sort of, try and get these wins, get a holding job while Pack, Etheridge and everybody is back.
And I thought Bakuna was fantastic.
Yeah, and hopefully in the
second
half of the season, that extra depth to Cardiff's squad might come to fruition. You're right about Bakuna. And Glenn mentioned it. We had a section on him last week in terms of he's somebody who splits opinion, didn't we? Or he did an article on it, yeah?
And if he plays like he did last week, he'll soon win over all the fans.
Why can't Bakuna play right back? He would offer that swashbuckling thing you need.
Get forward a bit more.
When, I'm talking about when Pack comes back, of course. On the basis Pack and Raoul's play.
Well, he might do because Neil's put him there before. But like, I'm always like of the opinion, why would we expect to put in a swashbuckling fullback when we don't play with swashbuckling fullbacks?
He also played fullback against Reading and was dreadful for 25 minutes.
So that's why I take away that, you know, that teasing myself, so oh, maybe we become more. I just set off for the fact that this is how we are, this is how we play, and hopefully we can get to a point where we were 2 years ago playing this way, because we played the Route One, the direct football, very well, you know. I think Patterson was okay, but again, if you're going to play him in that position, you have to have anticipation from your wide men and one of your midfield runners, you know, and your centre forward, you know. The thing about White is he can run all day, and I think he can do a lot more across the line and try and make runs into that centre forward position, yeah, in behind Patterson. Yeah. Now, like I've said to you before, I think Gav is more concerned at the moment about defending than he is about attacking.
Yeah.
Right? You know, he's got Peltz behind him. Peltz is like a beast when it comes to defending. He should be saying to him, go on, kid. Go and, you know, don't worry all the time. Yes, come and help me out. Do your job. But think goals before defending. Right? That's your job, is to get goals and provide goals.
So now I'm going to throw that back at you.
Okay.
Why are you... having knocked down my argument, which I felt was perfectly valid.
Which one?
About Bakuna could be a really good right back for a new dimension, which I thought was perfectly valid, but I totally accept what you're saying. Why should we expect that when they put it right? Why should you expect White not to track back when it is
Cardiff? No, I'm not saying not track back.
Cardiff's game
plan, not saying not track back. You mentioned just now about a mindset. If Cardiff start moving the chains, start winning, and they get, your confidence goes high, you automatically play a better brand of football, right? So it's the same with White, right? And from a footballer's perspective and a new player, don't forget, come from League One to a Premier League team that's just come down.
League Two or League One Oxford?
League One Oxford, isn't it? Yeah. So they've just come down from, he's come to a big club, and he's trying to fit in. And you know, Neil plays, you know, a structurally, that's rigid, what they try formation. To do, rigid formation, right? So, you know, like your Tony Pulis is, like Sam Allardyce, they're told, the winger's always told, you know, you're the hardest working players on the pitch, right? You got to get up, down, up, down, up, down. What I think Gavin is doing is thinking, I don't want to be at fault for a goal. I don't want to be pointed at as a goal. And it happens. Don't forget, I played that position, that wing position, right, in front of Damon Searle. But Damon Searle was such a good defender and such a good attacking fullback also. He used to just say to me, go on, one-on-one. You know, if the fullback's overlapping, then he's going to be 2v1, so I've got to go, I've got to help him. But at some point, defenders have got to be prepared to go one-on-one. And Peltz is a defender who's prepared to go one-on-one with anybody, right? So it's not, he's being held back, Gavin White. And it's not so much coming from the sidelines, I don't think. I think it's him personally just trying to make sure that he has a good start to his Cardiff City career, which is understandable. But I'm saying, if he just releases the shackles a bit and starts to think, right, he's got a level lung, so he can get up and down. Work rate is not a problem. What I'm saying is, going forward, I think he can not only provide more from the flank, but I think he could come across the line and get in more, become more of a threat. Totally.
Something I was thinking on the weekend, I mentioned to you, I actually think, I don't know how viable it would be, but I think White and Murphy, if they swap wings, I think it would be absolutely perfect, because I think Peltier, because Murphy, he doesn't like the tracking back side of him, and we've seen that this season with teams attacking down Cardiff's left, because Bennett's doing these overlapping runs, and Murphy's bolting forward as well, and Cardiff are left exposed that side. If you have Murphy over that side in front of Bennett, I think it just adds that little bit more defensive solidity, and Peltier behind Murphy just looks a lot more solid on that right hand side for me. I don't know how viable that is.
Good analysis.
The good thing is about Peltier, it's what we've said since he's come to the club. You can get forward if you want to, and he'll get forward once in a blue moon. But the beauty of it is, if you're Bennett, you know, I can maraud forward knowing that all that has to happen is Morrison shuffles across, Flint shuffles across, and Peltz shuffles across to make a three. All right? because I know I've got Gavin White who will track back into that right back position if need be. So if it's utilised correctly or better, you know, and these are things that when you start to play and you start to win, these things may come to fruition just naturally on their own. So I take your point, but it's a great point. But yeah, I think what Pelz does on that right hand side, you know, or Flint has to do a step across one, or Morrison or Flint step across one, and then you've got the three basically covering the back line of the pitch. It's pretty straightforward.
The other thing on that subject of the work rate up and down, I meant to text you at half time, Blakey. I don't know if this was my imagination, but it seemed I was actually specifically watching for this from goal kicks either end or clear goalkeeper had the ball either end. Yeah. And it seemed to me that Cardiff's back four were about 10 yards deeper from a situation like that than Middlesbrough's back four. And if I kept watching it, and it seemed less as the game went on, so maybe I'd got that wrong, but it certainly seemed like that to me in the first half at least.
That Cardiff were deeper?
Yeah, and I'm guessing if that is the case, it's because of a concern of a lack of pace or whatever. But if that is the case, and I think you've touched on it before that they sit a little bit too deep, I'm sure you have. That means that the gaps are bigger. So that means there has to be more work. Whereas perhaps if the gaps were closed up by those 10 yards.
Yeah. But what happens is, Paul.
Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, of course. But what happens is because you're not winning, the natural thing is to drop and protect the goal. It's kind of like what I'm saying about Gav.
Yeah.
Protect and drop the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't concede, and we might nick one. Or if we don't nick one, we draw.
Yeah.
So the natural reaction for people, you see it when you 1-0 up last 10 minutes, the natural thing is to drop, right? That's what's happening. So it makes those gaps a bit bigger. But as you start winning, what happens is the defence plays better, the goalkeeper makes the saves, Aidan Flint slides one out, Morrison, you know, wins one last ditch tackle. What happens is you grow in stature, you grow in confidence, so you step forward an extra 5 yards. Extra 6 yards. So those gaps will eventually, or should eventually, you know, disappear really. You know, if you've got a confident back four who aren't conceding goals, you know, you can afford to say, well, don't sit in this deep defensive block. Let's get up to that mid block. Let's get up to that, you know, midfield position rather than watching Marlon Pack or Bakuna and Joe Ryle sat in front of us. Let's step into that position and let them step on an extra 10, 15 yards. So it comes with confidence, really.
Well, they have stopped conceding, Glenn, haven't they? I mean, certainly.
Yeah, but they weren't winning.
No, I know.
That's the problem.
So certainly at the start of the season, when I think of Wigan got three, Reading got three, Luton got three in the League Cup.
Yeah. 11 goals in the first 6 games they conceded, and they've conceded 2 in the last 4.
That is a good foundation to build from,
But as we've seen with the performance, like I said, it wasn't great, it wasn't sexy, but it was better. You can't analyse it and say, well, it hadn't moved forward. It wasn't better than, you know, 2 weeks ago. Like I said, you're not going to, you know, I wasn't like off my chair every 5 minutes, but have to concede it was better.
I think it was substantially better compared to what we have seen previously, but...
I agree, especially in the first half, I actually thought Murphy was a big blow.
I thought in the first half as well, somebody else said it was the opposite, that somebody... that they kind of created more in the second half, but I just thought the in inverted commas free-flowing football in that final third in the first half was certainly the best we've seen this season by some distance, I would say. And that has to be the template going forward, doesn't it? Has to be the template going forward, Blakey.
Yeah.
Why are you smiling?
I don't know. It has to be. Yeah, well, you know.
Can't just be lumping in all the time.
Yeah.
There was one move in particular.
Well, what?
I hope so.
There was one move in particular which I really enjoyed, where Murphy played a lovely diagonal crossfield ball.
Yeah,
Gavin White took a touch into
the box, yeah. And squared it back.
But you see, this is my point about White having to deliver in the final third. That was a moment where, because I feel that this season he's given the ball, you know, he's looked wonderful, but then there's been no end product.
That's
he's been tackled or it's going out. Yeah.
Mm.
But at that moment where he took it on the run, went past the defender at pace and crossed it, I thought, that is what we need from the wingers, yeah? Mm-hmm. That is exactly...
I think as
and,
well...
And Gavin, you know, in that moment I thought, yeah, he's got something, you know, and he showed me things in this game, I thought, that I hadn't really seen previously.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But we need to see it consistently in the final third.
Yeah, I think he will grow in stature.
We need goals,
but,
shots, that sort of thing.
But if you're Glatzel... I'm going, or one of the strikers, I'm going to my, in training, I'm going, and we're working on the timing. Right, back, Cav, what do you like? You want to, right, you work on the one where he just takes a touch, gets it out of his feet, whips it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if we're here, if I'm here, this is where I'm going to be putting it, right? So you make your run across that near post, and I'm going to be looking for that corner of the 6-yard box. Front corner, 6-yard box. So you make your run in there. If I'm closer to the 18-yard box, I'm going to be looking for that cut back 9 times out of 10, unless I can see you square, which is the obvious pass. But there needs to be a bit more understanding because they haven't played together. So a bit more understanding. And it is conversation and practice in training. And I think you will. I think Glatzel slides in on at least 8 goals this season if he gets in tune with the likes of Murphy and Gavin White, you know. And I think Murphs can improve his final ball also.
Yeah.
You know, I think he can. I think it's a communication thing at the moment because they've not all, it's unbalanced again. It's yeah. You know,
I mean, whereas,
refresh, isn't it?
And it's interesting to see it because whereas Murphy in particular, White to a degree, and Mendes, we know, all are trying to get past their fullbacks and whip it over. Mm. I'm noticing Hoylett's tended to stop doing that, but he's coming back and whipping, putting over these incredible crosses.
Yeah, he cut inside the right foot.
They're wonderful. They're centre-forward meat and drink crosses. Mm. So it's like with him, you know, like David Beckham didn't need to beat his fullback to get a really good cross in. At this level, Hoylett's, I'm noticing, doing something similar in the closing 20 minutes of games.
Yeah, well, a good...
And it creates thrills and spills. It's not necessarily...
Well, you've got 2 wingers who can go outside and Junior Hoyler can come inside and put a ball across for a striker or a midfielder be running across that front line to be just glancing those headers in or touch yeah. on. So, mate, there's ways of... We can see ways of how they can improve and how they can get more goals ultimately. And I think, you know we're not managers, as we've been told. I have.
You have.
You're not a manager. But you know, I'll take my goals and promotions and say I do know what I'm talking about. So
well, on the record that I was manager of Lizzie Panthers under 8s, under 9s.
Go on.
And 11,
so. That was their record when you were manager, Paul.
Yeah.
Next.
Let's leave it there.
We've touched a little bit on the defence, but do we think the defence needs a little bit more praise? I think it's starting to look a lot more solid. Flint and Morrison, that partnership.
Yeah, look, it's not a, you know, we're here to analyse. They done well. Do you know what I mean? Still think if you can get Saul Bamba in there, it would improve things. I still think if I had the choice and I could get a defender like the one we let go, with a bit more pace and athleticism, I would take him. It's as simple as that. But, you know, it's not... I don't think it's the back four. You credit the team like you, as a structure. You're just better all round. You were just better. You know, defensively, they're better. But you don't do that. Like, you can't credit the back four because you've got someone like Bakuna and Riles in front who are then going intercepting and winning balls and allowing the back four to step forward. And so it becomes, or White is coming across and tackling. It is a team game. But I take your point. I think they just defended better as a unit, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it was because Asamoah Belonga has been so good in this division, and I think Flint Morrison in particular made him look average on the weekend.
Yeah, he didn't look like he fancied it. Although I do know Middlesbrough did have travel disruptions. So whether they were... Because they look either leggy to me, right? They look really leggy. They didn't seem to have a spark in them. or you've got the hangover of, like, what I mentioned, what Neil took a bit of disliking to when I said, you know, it would take 2 or 3 years for you to change the squad into a more free-flowing, faster, more athletic squad. I think what you see with Middlesbrough is they went from a philosophy of, you know, football, 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 always very good footballing teams, even when I played against them in the early 90s, always very good footballing teams. But then switched to Tony, and Tony is a direct, he plays very similar to Neil, direct football. And I think in the beginning when Tony went there, you could see some of the players still wanted to play. And they had a problem when they first came to Cardiff. They had a problem in, they were stuck between a rock and a hard place. They were stuck between playing how they used to play in, or playing what now Tony wants to play. Because Tony is very much percentage also. You know, back to front, big, powerful teams, blah, 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 blah. But I looked at that team, Middlesbrough, and thought, you're now with a younger manager who's going to want a lot more attacking, because most of the managers coming through now want to play that attacking, free-flowing football, going back to what their philosophy was originally. But your players aren't quick enough. Your players aren't athletic enough. You know, it's as simple as that. And if you looked at Cardiff and Middlesbrough, they were very similar. You know, if we had Glatzel and they had Sombalonga, you look at the structure and the players, the size, the strength, the power at the back, you know, but not quick, turning over their shoulder. Very similar in their approach. So, you know, it could be one of several things. It could be, like I said, a bit of a hangover from what's left and trying to get back to a more footballing style of philosophy of football. Or it could have been the travel disruptions they suffered. So, or a combination of both.
Mm. One player I did want to touch on was Callum Patterson. I think the last couple of weeks he's played in a crucial position, which is number 10, should be pulling the strings, so to speak. But I think, I don't know what it is, the last 2 weeks, I just think he's looked completely off the pace. Would you offer any analysis?
Listen, I think Callum does a great job wherever he plays, to be honest with you. He's kind of a jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand why, if you want to play with a number 10, it fits the bill that you're going to play someone who's good in the air and just to flick the ball on more than get hold of it and open up defences. But I look at Tomlin and I just think, wow. That's all I can say. Wow. You know, if I'm a striker, if I'm Glatzel, if I'm Murphy, or if I'm White, or if I'm Mendes Lang or Hoylett, I'm thinking to myself, if he plays, if Tomlin plays, we all get goals. Some more than others, but we all get goals, right? If Callum plays, you have to play with more anticipation as a striker or as a winger, because Callum wins so much ball in the air. If you're not running beyond him, and I think it only happened once or twice second half, but when it did, it was successful. But that's something that, you know, and that's old school football. I used to do that when I played the Sheffield United with Harry Bassett off Jostein Flo. Just practice anticipating, right, Flo, where do you like to flick it? Over your left or over your right? So if you've got time, I know you're always going to flick it over your left. I'll make my run into that direction all the time, all the time. And you practice these things, and they come off, mate. They do. You get an easy 5-6 goals a season just from anticipating where your partner's going to flick it. So, listen, the way we play our philosophy at the moment under Neil Warnock, Callum's going to play before Tomlin. However, I would love to see Tomlin play, because I just think over the course of, give him 6 or 7 games, 8 games, and I don't think many people would be looking anywhere else other than to play into Tomlin, because he would be so influential. But that's just my opinion.
Paul, do you think the number 10 role is proving problematic at the moment?
Well, Callum Patterson's not a 10. it's as simple as that. Callum Patterson has many strengths. Neil Warnock clearly loves him. He never substitutes him, or hardly ever substitutes him. he'll bustle and he'll hustle and he'll work his socks off and he'll win the flick-ons.
And he's angry, man. A lot.
And he's got great aggressive character. Yeah, he's I love that. Man. He's got great character on the field. And as such, lots moaning of fans love him. Mm. But you use the phrase pull the strings. Callum Patterson isn't going to pull the strings.
I didn't say so to speak.
Right? Lee Tomlin in that role would... I've not thought of it the way Blakey described there, that Lee would create goals for everybody else. And, you know, to me, if Cardiff are going to evolve, given they've got rid of Bobby Reid, if Cardiff are to evolve, Lee Tomlin needs to play 10. Now, where Patterson then fits into the team, whether it's centre mid, whatever, centre forward, whatever, is obviously an issue. But, you know, if Cardiff are to develop their game beyond what we have seen and are seeing, then it's a no-brainer that Tomlin has to play 10 for me.
Because Callum is like a... I would liken him to a Milner. He can actually, if you said him play centre half, he's so physical and so good in the air, he could play it.
Yeah.
Right back, we know he can play it. Right wing back, we know he can play it. Centre forward, we know he can play it. 10, we know he can play it. He can play anywhere, everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, he's that talented. You know, that's not a, you know, some people think, oh, you know, I don't want to play that. We've seen him play everywhere. And he, you know, every position he plays, and he plays like to a 7 out of 10.
Mm.
But Blakey's right. The way Cardiff play under Warnock,
he's going to be the preferred choice.
He is archetypal to that style of play. Yeah. It reminds me of Jamie Roberts with Warren Gatland's Welsh rugby team, where it was all
that power centre,
crush bang power down the middle. You know, in as much as Roberts was the strength of that system, but also the weakness in that system because it didn't enable Wales to evolve.
Guile.
See what I mean?
Yeah, no guile.
And I think the analogy is
very similar.
Is an apt one in a way. Mm. I think a lot of fans would love to see Tomlin given an extent, but it's no good just picking Lee Tomlin for 60 minutes, right? Lee Tomlin needs to be left on the field so that when defenders and players tire in the last 20 minutes of games, he's there to unpick them with his passes. That's a lot of that's down to his own fitness levels as well.
Yeah, but you'll get your fitness level. Someone like Lee is through playing, so it's a catch 22, you know. I remember when I was at Sheffield United, and I knew I was Dave Bassett's golden boy after I left Cardiff because I'd done so well. And then we went to Australia. We picked up a player called Carl Viet who came, and I had a shocking pre-season, right? And I actually went to Harry because I got injured and I was on the bench. Well, I was on the bench, but then I got injured. And I remember being in the stand, I think at Watford or something, and Carl scored twice. And I was thinking to myself, right, that's the gauntlet's throw down. You know, me and him are vying for the number 9 shirt, right? But I remember going to Harry and speaking to him and him saying to me, just, you know, you've got to get back to doing what you've done when you came here. And that is just, you know, anticipating scoring goals. So sometimes you need that confidence boost from your manager and that belief. When your manager believes in you and your capabilities, you know, you feel unstoppable. And I think with Lee, since he signed, he's never been looked upon as the answer, is he? And I think if you looked at him as the answer, because when he went to Forest, quickly he was like everything going through him.
Yeah.
But I think the way this is going to play out is... I fear the way this is going to play out.
Yeah, he'll leave.
He might get the odd start at home against a Hull City or a QPR or whatever. But by and large, Patterson will play at 10. And if Cardiff are losing a game, Tomlin will be sent on to try to rescue, which is a bit unfair.
But he's not going to accept that as a player of his experience and his age and what he's done so far. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's won 20 titles, but he's known at this level to be a very good, accomplished unlocker of the door. Do you know what I mean? So and you wouldn't expect him. I don't think Cardiff fans, I wouldn't, as a fan, I wouldn't expect a player of that ability to sit knowing that I'm just going to be an impact player, hopefully a rescue player for the last 10 minutes, when he's never really been given an opportunity to be, you know, the man. But I think he's probably quickly come to the realisation between him and Bobby Reid, you've got two very, very good number 10s, and neither of them have been able to not hold down a place, neither of them been given a place to hold down for, say, 10 games to see, right, how this team clicks into gear with these leading the ship. Do we end up scoring more goals and become, you know, more of an attacking threat? That question has never been answered, so
I don't think we will. Do you think Tomlin could flourish at this level?
Absolutely, yeah, 100%.
Or do we overrate him?
I don't think we overrate him. I think, you know, the whole reason Neil... Just think back to when Neil made the signings, right, in the championship. Until Tomlin came in, fans were booing. He was kind of like the answer. We all went, whew, we got someone who can do a bit. Now, if I say to you Tomlin, Mendes, Lang, Junior, Hoylett, Murphy, Glatzel, and White, you know, between those five or six players, come on. You can't tell me that between that front line, you should be realistically looking at between 40 and 60 goals a season.
Well, for what it's worth, I would like to see Junior Hoylett get given a run in at number 10. I think he's absolutely tailor-made for it, but maybe that's a debate for another day.
Yeah.
Just finally...
You did fall and bump your head earlier, so we'll ignore it. I'm only joking. I agree with you. I think he is a good quality number 10. I'm just winding you up.
Finally on this game, then, before we move on, just a quick one on Danny Ward back in the side. What did you make of him? You got a run out in the second half.
Yeah, I thought... Yeah, no, nothing major, you know. Just come back off injury. I don't think you can expect too much too soon. It's always nice if you come on and get a goal. But that's what he'd be looking to do is get a goal and get his goal run started. As a striker, that's what you do. I thought he looked fairly sharp. Yeah, you know, you can't expect him to rip up trees. Been out so long and, you know, first game back, you got to give him a bit, you know, three or four games to get it in tune and then... No, hopefully he nicks a goal or two and then gets on a run. But it's going to be interesting to see whether he goes with him, Glatzel, what happens, what's the partnership. Is it a number 10 in, you know, Hoylett or Callum Patterson or, you know, what's going to be the system or the players that clicks? I think that's what we need to find, is that that cohesion that is really deadly, that front line, that team cohesion, which is really going to cause problems.
I disagree a little bit with Blakey. I mean, I obviously agree that you can't expect Danny Ward to be sharp until he's had a few outings under his belt, but I thought Bogle was taken off too early. I thought Bogle produced the best centre-forward performance we've seen this season from a Cardiff player. And I thought that when he went off, the threat disappeared, so... That would be, you know.
I thought Bogle was okay, but I don't think it was enough of a threat to me. I think at the moment, I was watching Bogle, and what I'd say to Bogle is, do you know when you're not scoring?
Yeah.
Just think every time, just go to the box. Just think, go to the box in between the sticks. Go to the box in between the sticks. If you make a run near post, middle of goal, far post, cut back, whatever. But he done a lot of tireless work outside of the box, yeah? But then he as a number nine, listen, you'll have games where you don't get a chance. And I used to literally fight with people. And I wasn't I was manufactured into a centre-forward. I wasn't a centre-forward. But once you get beyond a certain point, you realise, hold on a minute, I'm a centre-forward and I score goals, right? Bogle is a centre-forward and he's not scoring goals at the moment. Did well pre-season, hasn't been able to continue that because hasn't really been given the chance to carry that on. So it's stop-start. As a striker, nothing worse than stop-start, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you thrive on routine, and you get to a point as a striker, it's Saturday, you're driving to the game, it's 1 o'clock, and you get this feeling of I'm going to score two today, and you tend to you get that natural belief that you're going to score all the time, And I think with someone like Omar at the moment, if I was in the coaching staff now, I'd be saying to him as a striker, quick, powerful, brother. Okay, I want you to make those channel runs, yeah. But rather than make those channel runs to the point where you're going out to cross for midfielders and wingers, I want you to hold that central point, hold up the ball, lay it to the winger, and just go central. Yeah, I want them to be crossing the ball to you rather than vice versa. And I think, you know, but that again, it comes with routine. That's why I say our timing is not quite clicked in so many different areas that, you know, whilst we're searching for the right combination, we're not then getting that unity, that understanding that allows you to go on and steamroll a team. So it's difficult balance at the moment. It's a difficult balance. But I thought he'd done okay. But my advice would be, you know, don't do so. You know, if there's a run on to go into that channel, but you can see Murphy who's on the halfway line, leave it. Just let Murphy go. You know, and if Murphy doesn't make the run, tell him. I mean, I'm leaving you that space for you to go one-on-one so you can cross the ball to me so I can score and get the glory. That's the way it rolls, right? So, you know, I don't think it was a great performance from Bogle, but I understand where he is at, I think. I think I'm understanding where he's at. So my advice would be to him, just think goals. Get across defenders in that near post position as well, because he's a strong lad, you know, quick. I think he can be a real goal threat, but, you know, you need that timing, definitely.
Okay, well, that's the end of part one. In part two, we'll be previewing the Hull City game.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
Welcome back to part two of Blakey's Boot Room, where we'll be discussing the trip to Hull City this weekend. So Hull sit one place behind Cardiff City in the table, but that does equate to 3 points because the table's quite concertinaed at the top, and it's a big drop off there. So I think the top 13 teams are all within 5 points of each other, and then there's a 3 point drop off to Hull and the rest of the teams below that. So how much have you seen of Hull this season? What do you make of them so far?
I've seen them twice. One good, one bad performance. So, and their position kind of in the table kind of warrants that, doesn't it? Inconsistency.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and again, the inconsistency is I've seen them good away and poor at home. But then I know they've had good results at home and poor away results. So they've clearly got a problem with consistency. And when a team is like that, second guessing, not sure, you've got to take advantage, you know. Because ultimately, we're looking for promotion, right? So we can keep letting games go, which are opportunities. And I'd say, you know, this is a big opportunity to get 3 points.
Paul, what's your assessment of Hull so far this season? Do you know?
I haven't watched them this season, but the way Blakey's described them is what they were last season. I remember they not start really poorly, and then they went on this incredible charge up the table with a load of wins,
mm-hmm.
and then they tailed off badly. It sounds like they're exactly that sort of team again, the way Blakey's described those two performances.
So they've got Jared Bowen, who's their main threat. He's scored 4 goals this season, and Kevin Stewart also is in behind him, and he's been receiving a lot of praise so far this season. But I think away from home, they're obviously, Cardiff are going to sit deep, and they're going to try and stymie any of the Hull attack. Do you think it's going to be a very counter-attacking style of play, Blakey, from Cardiff?
Well, from Cardiff? Yeah, I do. I think that was one of the things that was pleasing was I think it looked like we had worked a bit more on that, like when we get it from this position, we break, these are the players that break into these kind of positions, and we really threaten their goal. So I think if Cardiff can do that, then yeah, they're more than capable of getting a result, but well, they're off the back of a good win, away win as well, Hull. So, you know, they're not going to be struggling with confidence, I don't think. You know, I think they should be fancying their chances as well. So it should be a really, really good game.
Yeah, they're coming off the back of a 3-0 win
at Luton,
against Luton. Mm-hmm. So their tails will be up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is there any changes to the side, the Cardiff side that started on the weekend, you would make going forward to this weekend?
I don't think there's any point, is there? Because I know Tomlin, I think
Blake has just summed it up. Yeah. Yes is the answer.
Yeah.
But there won't be it. No. Well, there will. There'll probably be Glatzel play for Bogle. Well, yeah. That'll be it.
Yeah.
We're still uncertain whether he's going to be well enough. I know he hasn't trained so far this week. I think he's going to train for the first time maybe Thursday.
That's the only probable change, possibly Hoylett for Murphy, but. I mean, obviously, Blakey and I once made changes, but as he says, it's not going to happen, so...
Yeah.
So you'd stick with Bogle over Ward?
Oh, I would.
I would, yeah. Yeah, I'd stick with Bogle over Ward. Like I said, I do think Bogle maybe just trying a little bit too hard.
I can't put my finger on it. We haven't seen that much of him, but he's got something about him.
Mm. We said that when he got sent off at Bristol City.
I know, he's more, powerful than I thought. He seems quick. He is prepared to take on defenders. He gets shots on goal. I don't know.
Yeah, do you know what? I'd like to see him more. Maybe he needs to be on that when they call it on the shoulder of the last defender.
Yeah.
So you and the defender are racing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can use your power and strength to put your body across him. It's one of my favourite positions on the pitch where the ball's played over the top and the centre-back knows we're level off a start. He knows he's finished. It's all over. I just bully him or I run across him and I get in front of the ball. I'm always in one-on-one. Bogle, like I said, he works tirelessly, but he done a lot of work, I felt, that was unnecessary. Yeah? Especially if you're one... He should say, listen... I've got to get... My responsibility is goals. Yeah? I'm not saying I'm not going to work because he works. He's selfless. He works. So he does that anyway. But I've got to get goals and I need to target this box. And you need to start putting the ball in an area where I'm going to attack. And I know that's where I like to attack. So you make sure you put it in there. I think that needs to happen a bit.
I think it'll be the same team. Other than Glatzel for Bogle, possibly. Mm. And then I think Hoylett will come on for Murphy.
You're going to call the whole
Mendes will come on for White. And Bogle will come on for Glatzel or Ward for Bogle, whichever one. So I'm going to predict that's the 14 for the weekend.
Okay.
Notwithstanding injuries, of course.
Mm-hmm. We've got an interesting week.
Blakey?
No, I agree with you, Neil Abandonado.
We've got a bit of a packed week coming up, haven't we? Because we've got Hull, and then we've got the QPR game, and then we've got the West Brom game. How important is this little period then, heading into the international break, in terms of...
Well, that's what you do. You break it down into like 3 or 4 game sections, and this is a difficult one. QPR are on a flyer as well, so look, it's not going to be easy. But at some point, we need to go win. Right, because like you said, top 13 teams was there 5 points separating them. It's not a lot. So whilst we've not been in great form, my motto is just keep the gap between you and the playoff positions, below, 5 points or below. You don't want to be getting to 9 points outside sixth spot. You don't want to get to that point. Because effectively, you don't think it, but 3 games is huge, right? 3-game swing one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's not impossible, but you're looking at January, February before you start to see it actually where you're in that position and the sixth team is down in 11th or 12th. So, at this moment in time, I don't think we're playing well enough for us to start going, we can get the fourth and this and that. No, one step at a time. Small steps, let's just make sure the gap doesn't get any bigger. Can we close it over the next three games? Can we take two wins and a draw? Yeah. Can we take three wins? Possible. Yeah.
And obviously we'll be getting Bamba and Marlon Pack back the next couple of games next week. We're likely to see them in one, if not both. So that'll be a bit of a boost to the side, but we'll have to see how that all pans out.
Mm.
So that's the end of part two. We'll be coming back with part three with some Ask Blakey and predictions. Okay, welcome back to the final part of Blakey's Boot Room, where we'll be asking Blakey your questions. So, the first question from Curtis on Twitter.
Curtis, how are you doing?
Something we've not touched on yet, which we probably should have. Do you believe Alex Smithies has done a good job in replacing Neil Etheridge? We haven't talked about that, because Warnock said after the game that was a straight-up selection decision, Etheridge.
Well, the fact we haven't talked about it answers the question.
Very true. So you think you said last week, didn't you, that he warranted his place in the side, and it was his shirt.
Yeah, Kurt, I think he's done well. I do. You've read out earlier statistics where we've conceded two goals in the last three or four games.
Four games, yeah.
Right. You know, I know Paul disagreed with me last week, but, you know, it's the players understand, listen, if I'm injured, even though I'm number one, if I'm injured and he goes in and has... not worldly, but plays well and is solid. It's hard for the manager to turn around to him after four, five, six games and say, you're out. Right? If it's one game, a quick injury sort of thing, okay, you can do it. But five or six games, and look, Smithies didn't come to be a number two. He came to be a number one. He's had an opportunity. He's taken his opportunity. He's playing well enough. If you want to lose players, drop him and bring back Etheridge. If you want to lose players. But then what starts to happen, like Len Ashes would say, it becomes a cancer, son. It goes through the dressing room. It becomes a cancer. And that's what happened. Players then start, you know, whispering in corners, talking, you know, what's the point of me being here? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you don't need to be pouring fuel on that fire. So, the fact we're not speaking about him, I think, speaks for itself.
Okay, Adam Hellier says...
Hi, Dad.
With the imminent return of Sol Bamba, are Cardiff better suited personnel-wise to play with a back five? With Bennett suited to the left wing-back role, who would best be played at right wing-back? Possibly Patterson or White, but I know...
If he was to go to a back three, they couldn't play Peltier.
No.
Because with a back three, ultimately, wing backs are your wingers and got to get forward. So if they go to a back three, then Peltier isn't going to be the wing back. It's either going to be White, maybe Mendes, Lang.
Bakuna, you mentioned earlier.
Maybe. You've got that option. But will they go to a back three? I don't know. That's a real good question because, you know, like I've just said, Flint, Morrison, over the last three or four games, only two goals conceded. Things are improving, moving the chains in the right direction. I'd be a hypocrite if I said, no, bring Bamba back or not, because I've just said with Etheridge, who'd had three great seasons, you can't bring him straight back. So, no, I'm afraid Saul's going to have to... if it was me, would have to sit and wait, and not for a mistake. You don't drop a player for a mistake, but if you get into a bad run of form, four or five games, three or four games, you might sit someone down and say, look, you know, I think we need to put Saul in and blah, 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 blah. But also it's the way you do it. It's not just doing it, you know. So for me, no, Saul's going to have to wait his turn unless Neil decides I'm going to go to a back three.
Okay, Hugh asks,
hi, Hewitt.
Who are our two best wingers?
Mendes, Lang, and Murphy on their day.
Closely
followed by Hoylett and White.
He also asks, What is the striker pecking order? It seems to be Glatzel, Bogle, Ward, Vassell, Medine. But does Blakey agree with that?
Medine's still there.
Is Medine still there, is he? Oh, yeah.
Bagging him in for the 23s.
Okay. Well, Glatzel, yes. I still don't think we've seen half of what he's got. I've seen it, and I know what he's got. But, you know, what I'd like to see now is how the team draw that out of him, because the boy's got some Jack and Jill, mate, I'm telling you.
Jack and Jill, Cockney slang for skeleton.
Yeah. He explained that before.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't know that.
It's come from a Chelsea days.
Just like to know what the word you said. Yeah. What was it? Cora? There's a word that
I can't remember.
I don't know. But what was the question again? Paul's just totally thrown me.
The pecking order.
Yeah, I would go with. I think Ward has got to hope he can come on, get a few minutes, and prove himself, you know, to step over Bogle, sort of thing. But to be honest with you, I don't know if that's the way the system works at Cardiff.
Mm.
There seems to be just like no sort of pecking order apart from Glatzel at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Because Medine started the season.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? Bogle seemed to come in and then was hoofed out and then has been brought back in. So, you know, Tomlin in, save our souls, out, don't need you because got to win, you know, on the bench. It's... But this... They seem to be searching for the best 11 that clicks. But whilst you keep changing, sometimes you think, well, are you better just trying to stay with a settled 11, get the click, and then start adding, you know, the rotation, right? Or do you go with what Neil's always done, and that's just keep rotating players, horses for courses sort of thing? So, catch 22 at the moment. But... I would go Glatzel, Bogle.
Ward or Vassell?
Vassell is... I don't know what's happening there as well. He scored the winner, and then like I thought, okay, we'll see him. But nowhere. No, absolutely nowhere. And then Medine, nowhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, feel for him. Really do. Because I remember... You know, there were times when there were strikers in that position at clubs. I was never in that position, but you haven't seen it. And it's not nice, do you know what I mean? It's not nice. It's not nice being like, you know, playing not even second fiddle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're third or fourth. It's not a nice position to be in. So, you know.
Finally.
Those are the breaks, mate.
Finally, from Ed Hopkins on Facebook. He just says Gary Rowett ? So I'm assuming that's a question for the next manager.
Are you crazy? Who sent that in?
Ed Hopkins.
Is it Full Moon or something? He's mad. And the name I told you at the game the other night was Saul Campbell,
mm-hmm.
Not Saul Bamba. Probably the best defender since Bobby Moore this country's seen.
Wow.
Yeah, between him, Adams. You know, Pallister would say there's about probably a collection of about five or six of them, but he'd definitely be in my top three. So, you know, invincible, won what you need to win, Premier League, FA Cups, where have you. Was chucked the hospital pass, an absolute hospital pass in Macclesfield, I think it was.
Yeah.
Almost as a, to me, it was almost, okay, we'll shut this guy up. We'll give him a club that's really struggling. And when he takes him down, we can say, see, we told you so. You're not as good as you think. And he didn't. To see him sat where he sat, doing nothing, I think it's a crime, mate, really. It's a crime. When you see the likes of Gerrard and Lampard, you know, to the point where Klopp is coming out and saying he's the next manager. So really, you're up there, you've been given a job to babysit Rangers until you're ready to walk in. That is some privilege, that boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And for what Saul done in the game, to have to go down to that level to prove yourself, it just sickens me sometimes. But I would love to see him given a chance at this sort of level, because I think his professionalism, and I know Saul personally, and I'm not saying it because I know him. I probably haven't spoke to him for 15 years or seen him. But I know how he ticks and how his mind ticks. I know how professional he is. And he's opinionated. But there seems to be a problem with, if you're a person of colour and have an opinion, there seems to be a problem. And I don't understand that. But at the same time, I do understand it, because I've dealt with this since I was probably 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. Back on to Rowett. I feel it's an interesting call, yeah?
Gary Rowett?
Yeah, well, bear with me. I just feel with Rowett, he's a bit like Gary Monk and Paul Clement. He's one of these managers who
seems
to do well, yeah? But I always feel there's something not right and it will quickly
cave in.
Cavians are probably a good one, and that's what's happened. You know, I feel that the reputations aren't as good, as justified as perhaps they seem to be.
Mm.
And I think Rowett sticks in with that, but I do think he's the sort of manager who will always get jobs because of that reputation.
Yeah,
I don't want
managers who are merry-go-rounds. I want a manager who's trying to get to the top. Yeah, and I think already at 46, 47, there's some managers who will become merry-go-round managers. You know, I'm at this club, oh yeah, it's the greatest club in the world, best fans. A year later, I'm at this club, oh yeah, greatest club in the world, best fans. You know, it is what it is. I'm not going to say it's a nonsense. You know, you get the opportunity, you take it. But that's got to wear you down. That's got to wear down your loyalty and what you believe in.
Mm.
Yeah, because I think most people believe, I signed for a club, I got 3 years, I'm going to go. Well, we know time is of the essence now. You get 3 years if people can see you're clearly going in the right direction. If you stalemate for 10, 12, 15 games, you're under pressure, probably gone. Right? I'm still surprised Nathan is at Stoke, to be honest with you. But you can feel that axe is about to fall if he doesn't start getting results. So, you know. Gary, nice enough chap. We shared the same agent when we were playing. But if you said to me Gary or Campbell, I'd say give me Campbell 100%. 100%. Give me Campbell, because I believe when you talk it and then back it, when you've been given arguably the worst club at that time to take, and succeeded, mate, you have to bow down. All you doubters have to button it, right? Because don't want to hear no, oh, but I was League Two. Listen, I won League Two. Difficult league. But going from zero money, not getting paid, and building, I know how difficult that was, and for the manager, how difficult it is. So for me, love to see him get an opportunity at this level and at this club.
Okay, once again, thank you for all your questions. We'll just move on to our final little segment here of predictions for this weekend. Paul Abandonato, I will come
the
to you
number,
first.
The numero uno, Pablo Escobar. Hey,
Mystic Paul.
I know.
Well, an Escobar drug dealer.
Yeah, you're famous, man. Pablo, you my Pablo, man.
What am I looking at? What am I looking at? I this is one of those ones I just find it. I don't think Cardiff will lose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be swashbuckling. I know you think, Glenn, there's going to be a game that's just suddenly canter 3 or 4. Now I just don't see that. Am I seeing a 0-0, or could Cardiff maybe sneak it 2-0? I'm going to be positive and go for the latter. Mm.
2-0.
I'm going to go for 2-0 Cardiff, yeah, with a goal, good defensive performance, and then another goal sneaks on the break in the end. And one of those performances where you get up there, you get the job done, you get your 3 points, you come back.
Blakey?
3-2 Cardiff.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, that surprised you, didn't it?
Goal fest.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking 2-1, and I thought, nah, I can see them, you know, either scoring or getting back into it more than once if we get a couple of goals. So, and I think, yeah, I think our confidence is just sprouting. So the belief that they can go and get her. Yeah, 3-2. I'll go 3-2, Cardiff.
I think 1-0 to Cardiff. I think Hull will start very well, and then I think Cardiff will hit them on the counter-attack late in the second half, nick a winner through one of the wingers.
Do you want to give me the lottery numbers as well?
Take all the 3 points out. Yeah,
that's the most likely scenario, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Smash and grab,
of the three of us, that's the most likely scenario. A dour 70 minutes and then Cardiff sneak in. But the 3 points is all that matters from this one for me.
Yeah,
it really
100%.
Is.
Well, for the next eight, ten games,
getting some wins and that getting clear that
confidence,
table,
absolutely,
and that changes the mindset of the fans as well. Yeah. And so, you know, they can accept that.
Although the fans, in all fairness, have been a bit special this season.
They have, but I know somebody walked out at half time on Saturday.
Yeah, you are going to get people like who will do that, who think I can't.
Are always special at Cardiff.
I mean, in times of when the team is not playing well.
Yeah.
Because let's be fair, they love Neil Warnock and they support him, you know, unequivocally. But even in this season, when you're thinking, what is going on here?
They're an ethos to the style of football.
But even though that doesn't mean to say they have to sing and encourage. And you know, Cardiff fans, they can be short fuse when they're ready. You know what I mean? Eddie, sort them out. Remember that chant? Sort them out. Eddie, sort them out. I mean, get hold of them, man. You know, we will. Right? So they can be short fuse when they're ready, but.
When's the X Factor start?
Don't, mate.
Right, this time of year, isn't it?
Listen, all those judges would be deafened if I went on stage. But no, I do.
That's all we have time for this week on Blakey's Boot Room. Thanks once again for tuning in, and make sure you stay up to date with all the Cardiff City news on Wales Online.
Au revoir, Blues.